Prime Comics, where the saddest thing to see is a mosquito sucking on a mummy. Forget it, little friend.
What?
Oh my god, we're crickets. That's immediately what I'm thinking of.
Cheep, cheep, cheep.
Squeaky. I almost said squeaky, Andy. Squeaky.
Squeaky, squeaky.
No, yeah, yes, yes.
Because of Tony and that damn Fesha Fesha song that he keeps playing over and over.
That thought was deep, Tony. It was a deep thought.
I know, I mean.
I think you plagiarized it from Jack Handy, though.
I just gave him credit. I just said it was Jack Handy.
All right, we do give credit on this show.
Idiot.
All right, guys, well, welcome to Drunk on Comics.
Well, we're obviously drunk.
And we're not comics, or at least Tony's not.
He's the last comic sitting.
He's that pathetic warm-up guy.
Oh, he's the guy that nobody wants to see.
I'm the MC tonight, and I got a couple lame jokes up my sleeve to keep you wanting more.
It wasn't that lame a joke.
In fact, it's pretty damn funny. I know my brother's laughed at it multiple times, but you guys try not to laugh because you guys are dicks. So fuck off, a-holes.
Yeah, so the cursing puss bag over there is Tony.
I'm Matt.
Kevin.
And I'm Derek.
No one cares.
I think we're going to get things kicked off here on our little podcast about comic books and conventions and collecting and other Geekorama fantastic
much better
things.
You like Geekorama?
Yeah.
What about geekly nuggets?
No, I don't like nuggets. I like McBites.
Oh, geeky McBites. All right. So we're going to get it kicked off here with Off the Shelf. Before we do, I would like just to, on a serious note, take one quick moment of silence. This past week, artist Scott Clark passed away at the age of 43. For those of you that are not familiar with him, he did a bunch of stuff on the original Stormwatch series back in the 90s, Spawn Wildcats, Alpha Flight, What If, and last several years in DC, Adventure Comics. He did some Batman Inc., did some Brightest Day. So just want to send our condolences out to his friends and family. All right, guys. Thank you. Back to Off the Shelf. This week, Off the Shelf is brought to you by Motor City Comic Con. You can find that at MotorCityComicCon.com. It's going to be May 17th through the 19th at the Suburban Collection Show Place. Yeah, that's always fun. But go check them out on Facebook.
All right, I have a question. Do people know where the Motor City is? Because, you know, the last handful of weeks, we've never really said where it's at.
Oh, no, say Michigan?
No. Yeah.
I don't think
which is outside
really
Detroit.
Detroit. But most people are familiar with Motor City and equals Detroit.
Isn't
Atlanta Music City?
What? I thought it had something to do with peaches.
Yeah. Chicago is the Big Apple.
Oh, that was the Winnie.
Wah, wah.
Yeah.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to spoil some of your books. We're going to spoil them like this beer that I found in the back of Tony's fridge.
Is it good?
It's kind of bad, but I'll still drink it.
It'll get you fucked up.
If I start seeing different colors or only in black and white, then I know something's wrong. All right, so I'm going to kick it off here with Thor, God of Thunder, number 5. And as regular listeners know, I've been following the series and it was originally supposed to be a 5-part. This first story arc was going to be in 5 parts, so I was expecting there to be some kind of conclusion in this book, but there wasn't, because Jason Aaron is a jerk and is keeping us strung along, anxiously waiting for the next issue to come out.
Well,
art from Isab Ribic.
Ribich.
That's right. It's Ribich. Yes. I'm gonna have to just put an H next to it when I get my books.
Yeah, just draw them. Make it more valuable when you do that.
And colors by Ive Svorsina. Svorsina.
Okay.
That sounds about right. Sounds Slavic.
I got a question for you before you get into that.
Yeah.
Do you think that the 5 issues has been stretched into 6 because he had more to say, or do you think it was because of the art and how it was better to tell the story with a using more panels or more pages?
I'm not sure. It could be either of those two. The art is great in it. It is a complex story as you are following Thor through three different timelines, so I'm sure there's a lot more that can be said. As we're following Thor's journeys with Gore, the God Butcherer, this issue lets us know what exactly happened in that cave that Gore seems to be really upset about and stuff. And young Thor cut off his arm in there, and you kind of cool it when it's cool. Wait, you see him in the future.
Thor cut off his arm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's three different timelines going on.
Yeah. So young Thor cut off in the past, cut off Gore's arm. Oh. And so that really pissed Gore off.
Sorry,
yeah, that's okay. I say Gore that, and Thor. And,
well, I was thinking that young Thor cut off his own arm.
No, but that's... Because that, well, old Thor's got some kind of metal arm.
Yeah,
and I'm wondering, if the god Butcher did that to him in the future as, you know...
Retribution.
That was the Destroyer armor as his arm.
That did kind of look like the Destroyer armor. That was pretty cool. So, anyways, fans, if you're not picking up this book and you are a fan of Thor, go back, get number one, get this whole story arc, figure out what's going on, because it's going to continue going. I'm real happy with it, and the next issue, as the preview page in the very back calls it, is called Gorgin, as they're doing an origin story of Gore, figure out how he became the God Butcher. I don't need to say much else on it, because if you're not following it, it takes too much to explain. But this is my two mugs up of mead, two flagons of mead up for this book, and please go out and get it.
Yeah, I was talking to the guys in my local shop about it, and they were still going, "Did you read Thor?" And I'm like, "No." And they're like, "Oh, that's right. You can't read Thor because of the font that they used." So they proceeded to rip on me. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Cool.
Tony, you got a book you want to chat about this week, don't you?
Kind of. It's a book that I said that I wasn't going to pick up, and I told myself I was going to pick up one at the comic book shop, and then somehow it magically got into my bag.
Why? Why wouldn't you pick this up?
Okay, it's Nova number one, written by Jeff Loeb. Ed McGuinness did pencils, colorist Matt Gracia did colors. I originally picked it up thinking it was Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm thinking in the back of my head, because when I got home, I was like, "Oh, I got the Guardians book," and I'm like, "Oh, I got Nova." And here's the thing why I didn't want to pick this up. I'm still pissed off of what the fuck's going on with Richard Rider in the Cancerverse. Like, where's he at? He is the Nova. And I know
I knew he had, like, all of the Nova Force in him, and he was giving out little bits of it to other people, but...
Yeah, so I'm kind of curious...
That sounds filthy.
Obviously, you can have other people that are on the Nova Force, and for most listeners that don't know, the Nova Corps are pretty much the... copycats of Green Lantern.
But without the all-powerful rings
to do it.
They're just basically cosmic police officers.
Yep.
The way
since the whole Corps has been pretty much destroyed, it's cool to see that they're coming back. But I want to know, what the fuck happened to that guy that came to warn them during the Phoenix Force saga?
Wasn't that Nova?
This is a kid. This is a kid that's going to be Nova.
That wasn't the Nova that... All right, I thought it was Richard Rider that came, or a different...
But it wasn't.
Damn it, I'm confused.
And so, this book...
Like, did you try using the AR on the cover to see if it explains?
I did not, because my phone sucks. But in this story, the ultimate thing about this is trying to figure out the where this person is coming from. It's a dad telling his son that he was a Nova Corps person, but the kid's just not believing him. He's like, "Yeah, right, whatever."
I see Rocket Raccoon.
Yes, and he starts talking about Rocket Raccoon, and the kid doesn't believe him. He's pulling a Derek and's like, "Fuck that thing."
So is this like the Fat Spider-Man story in the back of issue 700?
Kind of, but totally opposite.
Kind of, but in no way does it resemble
it. It's exactly like it, except different.
The bizarre world.
The kid is not believing his dad was part of this intergalactic space. He just thinks his dad's a loser. And what happens is the dad's talking about the Black Domes. Most all of the Nova Corps people have golden helmets with the red star thing.
I'm sorry.
What's so funny about golden helmets?
Well, black helmets and golden helmets, I'm just, you know, I got my mind in the gutter. I'm just...
Okay. So it's always in the gutter.
Yeah.
So he's talking about the Black Dome Corps, which are the high classified, you know...
Special ops.
Yes. Which is why also the kids...
Black ops, that's why the black helmets.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's probably why the kid doesn't believe them, because they've never heard of... You know,
because we just made it up.
Exactly. Which is the only reason why I can follow the story is I'm curious what the hell is going on with that. In the end, though, the kid eventually, he gets hurt skateboarding, and he wakes up in the hospital with Rocket Raccoon and Gamora saying, you know, we need to talk about your dad. I like this because, A, it's got two people from Guardians of the Galaxy in it, which is going to probably progress into... When Guardian Galaxy start, because that's a book that I'm very looking forward to. Ultimately, though, I'm not sold as a kid being in the Nova Corps. Like, it just doesn't compute. But who knows? It could be good. I'm still going to pick it up because it will probably somehow accidentally fall in my bag again, and I will probably accidentally read it.
I know in the...
Well, did you accidentally pay for it? Or was it accidentally free?
I accidentally paid for it.
Okay, well then, yeah.
It got totaled in with everything else.
I know that in the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon series, their rider or their Nova is named Sam, and so that's probably, you know, tying in with some of their other merchandise lines or storylines to make it. And he's a kid; he's a teenager and everything. So I don't know. Maybe there's a tie in there.
Wait, there's merchandising in comics?
No, they wouldn't try to sell multiple different storylines along different platforms of media.
Yeah, no.
Nah. Money. They don't want to make money. They're about the art.
Next thing you're telling me, they're going to have, like, crossovers between different titles. That'd be stupid. Nobody'd buy that.
Batman versus Wolverine? I'd buy that shit.
Well, yeah.
They did that, and when they merged the two together,
What year was that? It was, like, 05, 06?
Oh, no. No, man. Nerdclaw, that was probably around 93.
Yeah.
Three?
Oh. I was going to say, I was middle school or so.
Really? Yeah, that big, huge DC Marvel crossover?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was definitely...
It was shortly after the Age of Apocalypse, I want to say.
Yeah, it was 93 or 94.
So. Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, and I just remember because of where I was at.
Kevin doesn't remember what time it is because he just stepped out of his DeLorean when he got here.
Well, he's only asking because he wants to know when he can go back and get the good mint copies of it.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, what do you got for
us? I'm kind of miffed myself for... I didn't even come to the right decade trying to remember that kind of stuff. Anyway, I am reviewing another Marvel title. I think this is going to be like a clean sweep this week for Marvel titles for us.
I think it might be.
Yeah, but I keep on going back to the Marvel world because I'm want to try to find something that just brings me in, sucks me in. I don't know if I'm just picking up the right books. I'm a moron related to comic books. Normally, I am a moron. So this week I picked up Captain Marvel.
Number 10.
Now, of course, Derek's been on the Captain Marvel bandwagon for so long. Like
10 issues.
Yeah. He's kind of been pushing that book like a drug dealer.
Yeah, absolutely. So, first, let's give credit to Kelly Sue DeConnick, Christopher Sebela.
I think so. I'm not.
Yeah. Art by Felipe Andrade. Thank you. And colors by Jordi Belair.
Mm-hmm. Letters also by our buddy Joe Caramagna.
Yeah.
Cover by Joe Quiones.
Key grip is.
Yeah. So there you go.
Okay. So this is my first one I've read, and it's interesting to see her in this particular issue. They show her a portion of her daily activities,
mm-hmm.
which I like. I like seeing a real world vision of a superhero. She just wants to be sort of a normal person, hanging out with people in her neighborhood, people in her apartment complex. There's even a cool little dialogue between one of her neighbors that doesn't really care for her because he fears for him and his family because of the danger that she'll inevitably bring to the people in that complex.
Because, you know, for listeners that aren't familiar with this, Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel, doesn't hide her identity as Captain Marvel. You know, she doesn't have the secret.
She used to wear a mask. Well, yeah. She used one of those DC masks that, you know, really only cover the eyes.
Yeah,
she doesn't wear a mask anymore. Everybody knows who she is. So,
So they just show her she's in need. She goes help people out, and then big conflict at the end is that she meets up with Deathbird, which I haven't seen Deathbird since the 80s.
Yeah, I don't think I had either.
I thought Deathbird was kind of like a cosmic entity, like the Shi'ar Empire.
You're thinking of Warbird.
Okay,
Warbird is Shi'ar.
Okay. Yeah, at least I remember Shi'ar.
Yeah. And Warbird's currently part of the Astonishing.
No, wasn't there a character called Lady Deathbird? Lady Deathstrike is a person with the fingernails, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think you're mixing as many names as you can come up with.
See, I'm trying to make myself.
Deathstroke. Look like, it's a guy, DC, kind of looks like Deadpool. Oh, sorry.
Well, I'm trying to relate it. All my knowledge of evil characters based upon the popular, at least for me, the X-Men Alert board game. So, anyway, that should be something that we should post on the website. Anyway. You know, I think this is. I'm debating between picking this up again or not, because honestly, the one thing I really didn't like is the art.
The art is a very unique style.
It's unique. You don't see it in any other books that I've picked up and glanced over or currently are reading. And
the one thing I will say is that the art has been. From everything that I've heard and everyone I've talked to, it's either been a love or a hate. There really isn't much in between on it. It took me an issue to get into it, but the more that I got into it, and I think a lot of it still has to do with colors by Jordi Belair. I mean, like, she is fantastic.
She really pops out on a lot of these pages. Yeah. Wherever the rest of the background might be a little bit dull or something, she's kind of much more bright.
Oh, yeah,
which is
absolutely.
Nice, draws attention.
Yeah, like this one page that we have open, we have a few issues floating around the table here, where she's just walking down the street and it's very orange and brown, but yeah, she has a very colorful blue and red costume on.
Yeah.
So it really pops out. But
well, you know, and I liked it, and everybody knows this, I'm a huge fan of Dexter Soy, the guy that originally started on the series, but I have the feeling that he's not coming back because I think he's got some other projects going. I like the art, but I will admit it took me a while to get used to it. I think once you kind of, and I what I will say though is that as far as the art, when it comes to the layouts and the overall direction of the action, very, very nicely laid out. You just don't like the style of how he draws the people.
Yeah, exactly. Weird. I think the eyes are weird. The chin's kind of funky.
I've heard it referred to
cartoon-ish.
Yeah, but I've heard it referred to as like a more of a European style, which I don't know. I'm like, okay.
So, Kevin, you gonna pick this up for two more issues until it's canceled?
Shut up! It's not gonna be canceled.
I don't know because I want to find a Marvel title that I could pick up and maybe get to dive back
pick up
into
Thor,
this.
God of Thunder,
or start picking up Superior Spider-Man and weigh in on the argument.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Then we can have one more witness when
we'll
Tony
get
pays
to that.
Me $20.
No, but I think people should. Pick this up and at least give it a shot.
Well, you know, and one of the things you didn't mention is that she's got like a brain lesion.
Yeah, that's actually a nice element
cancer?
That they've added to this because I mean she's just a badass who really can't be reckoned with, but you know, so this actually adds a unique element to
makes her vulnerable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they did say that one some superhero was going to get cancer, and they thought that since the original Captain Marvel died of cancer, that would make sense. But interesting. I do like when heroes can be vulnerable. Yeah. I think that you need to see that.
Like Kryptonite and Superman.
Shut up. All right, Derek, what you got?
I have got my other book that I've been harping on since it came out.
Oh, you've been...
Dungeons and Dragons? I see D&D on the cover.
Yeah.
You've been gushing about this on Twitter, man.
Yeah. Daredevil, number 23 from Marvel. So, yeah, we do have a clean
sleeve. Wait, you read Daredevil?
Yeah, I do. I'm surprised I'm not even wearing a Daredevil shirt today. Number 23 from Marvel, written by Mark Waid, art by Chris Somney. Javier Rodriguez did colors, and once again, Joe Caramagna did the letters. This book opens up with what appears to be a flashback of how Daredevil got his powers, you know, with the truck coming around the corner with the toxic waste and him kind of running out to save people. But what you find out is that it's actually a scientific experiment being performed on, like, prisoner test subjects to try and recreate Daredevil's powers in another person.
Ooh.
And so, like, this guy's like, oh, it burns, and his face is, like, fucking melting off. So this is honestly, it's great, but it's a little disturbing kind of take on the fact that Daredevil has the worst kept secret identity out of like any Marvel superhero that's out there, pretty much always has been. And Waid does a really good job playing on that. You know, I mean, this is one of the good things, but it's like,
So everyone knows that he's Matt Murdock?
Yeah, but he goes, nah, I'm not Daredevil. You guys, come on.
I'm blind.
Like, he actually had, like a t-shirt in one of the early issues that says, I'm not Daredevil.
See, when he has sonar ability, how does he know the, like, colors and what suit he's wearing? Like, I'm going to wear the red Daredevil suit this time, or I'm going to wear the yellow one.
He always wears the red one. He hasn't worn the yellow one since 1963.
Yeah, how the fuck does he know what color
it
is?
He smells the dye.
He touches
the dye. Smell different.
I thought it was a touch thing. Like, well, somehow you could actually feel the.
He shines a light on it, and the darker colors absorb more heat. So therefore, when he touches it, he can know this is a darker color.
He holds it up to the sun and checks the quality of the paper. No, like, and the reason that he switched to the red suit was that the red suit had more armor. That was issue 7, like, way back original. But anyway, so the story kind of transitions from this experimentation thing to him swinging around New York with his old buddy Foggy Nelson. You know, kind of taking him up to the top of the Chrysler building. You know, and it's kind of in that, like, Peter Parker, Mary Jane kind of way.
Well, that's what I just love, how so many superheroes swing around New York. Mm-hmm. Like, you see all the Robins and Batman, they just swing around like they're fucking Spider-Man and do flips and here and there. It's like, let the man have his one gimmick and let him fly through the air with his webs.
Yeah. But, you know, the cool thing about this is that, you know, they're swinging around because, and they're having some very well-deserved laughs. I mean, there was a bit of a falling out few issues back between Matt and Foggy. They've made up. But the other thing is that, speaking of cancer, Foggy is waiting to get test results back to find out if he does or does not have cancer. And it's the night before these test results are coming back. So Matt's kind of trying to take him out and, you know, cheer him up and kind of keep his spirits up before they go. The actual action of this story ends up with Daredevil fighting off a group of those, you know, kind of previously mentioned prisoner test subjects, who seem to have at least some semblance of Matt's powers now, if not kind of all the same, but they don't know how to use them, so they aren't really all that dangerous to him. The cool thing in the fight sequence is that there's a lot of tension and anxiety kind of in the background, seeing Foggy looking at the clock because Matt's supposed to meet him at 10 a.m. or whatever it is. He's just sitting there watching the clock because Matt's out fighting crime. And the whole time I'm sitting there going, please don't let him down. Please don't, like, let him down. I was getting so sucked in emotionally. Now, of course, he does make it on time, but the story ends.
Unlike Spider-Man, who's always late.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless he's superior. Superior's on time. Sorry.
The comic ends, or the story ends with the doctor telling, like, you know, when he's reading their test results and he opens it up and all he says is, I'm sorry. So it appears that, you know, it appears he has cancer. Although maybe he's saying, I'm sorry.
I'm surprised Reed Richards hasn't fix cancer.
Yeah. Well, he can't fix his own family. Yeah. So, now, before
you,
I get to...
You know who should really fix cancer? Dr. Doom. Right? Because no one would expect that coming. Dr. Doom's like, hey, world, I cured cancer. Now what? Can I be your ruler?
Well, he's not going to be a ruler. He's in Europe. He'd be like the metric stick. So, before I get to the part that you guys are really going to enjoy making fun of me for...
Capone?
Mapone?
Whatever.
No. I got to talk about the art by Chris Samian here. I've been reading Daredevil since the early 80s, and there have been some really amazing artists along the way, with my personal favorite being Klaus Janson, even more than Frank Miller on Daredevil. At least he might be my favorite up until now. Chris Samney is killing it in this book. I think he really understands like how to convey the good story, how to convey action, more importantly, how to convey the emotion between the characters on a realistic level in there. You know, that said, it might be a little early to say that he is now my all-time favorite DD artist, but he's definitely working on taking that award, you know, for himself. So here's where you guys get to rip on me a little. I got a little choked up at the end of this book. I really did.
Did you, like, wipe away a tear?
Like, I was like, it wasn't quite there, but I was like... Like, I could feel like my breathing was getting a little labored, and it's not just because I'm chubby. You know? But, you know,
I was going to say, it was probably because you had the Lifetime channel in the background, and Oprah was saving a bunch of kittens or something.
And then there was a Hallmark commercial, yeah. You know. Yeah. You know, the thing is, I've always liked Foggy, but I've never really felt that much for him.
But now you give him a reason for readers to like him, or well, care about him.
It's Mark Waid. Yeah. I mean, this whole series, he has done such a good job of building up this friendship and relationship between both Matt and Foggy, and then when they fight, it feels realistic.
Are they still attorneys together?
Yes.
Are they still in a relationship together? Because Matt Murdock's relationships don't usually end very well, if I'm correct.
Well, no, if he was in a relationship with Foggy, Foggy would be dead.
Okay.
Well, he's going to have the slow death pretty soon. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, that even for an unrealistic superhero world, Mark Waid has done a really good job at making them very realistic. So go buy this book. Go read this book. I think it's flawless and hands down best book of the week, so 2 mugs up.
Would you tell someone to read that over the End of Days one? Which one's better?
The End of Days.
And realize if you whichever one you don't pick, you have to kill it off.
In that case, I'd probably say read this one because then you could do the End of Days later on in the series.
Ha ha! He got you in a loophole.
Yeah.
All right. What are we moving on to next?
I don't know. What are we doing next, Tony?
Kevin, you got a long box?
You know, I didn't. I flipped through a little bit. You know what? I didn't see anything that made me go, wow, let's talk about this. And I don't know if I was just hungover last night. I was starting to work on a hangover last night.
All right. Well, then we can go on to the new segment, which we have no name for, but I will call it Badass Cover Art, or BACA.
Okay, your name's dumb, and I think we should have our listeners name it for us.
I agree.
Because we don't have any good ideas other than awesome art competition of the week, something. Cool. So
I kind of lofted that up there for you to kind of say that.
Yeah, I kind of got that.
Like, oh, did you?
Yeah, so
did
you? You don't have to let our listeners know our secrets.
We have secrets.
Shh. So listen to Derek.
Hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on Facebook if you've got a good idea for the...
The idea of the segment is we're going to look at the cover art, and we're going to pick the best cover art that we saw of the week.
And if you guys got ideas of what should be the best cover art, send those in too. Yeah. We're going to discuss them, and we're going to pick the best of the best that week for whatever reasons, and we will talk about those reasons.
Yeah, and maybe someday we'll actually have real artistic criteria for picking them, and not just the ones who are like, damn, that chick is hot!
I like her nipples.
That's a good criteria.
our first winner...
Yes, is Spawn number 228. And mainly because a couple months ago, I had talked about an awesome Spawn cover that had the Spawn shield and it had a drop of blood just like in the vein of Watchmen. and it was so perfectly done, except for that book ruined it because they had the whole Obama wins, Romney wins at the top, and it just ruined the cover. Well, Todd McFarlane has another awesome cover in the vein of Action Comics with Spawn holding up a sports car and smashing it into a wall. And just because of that and taking...
the iconic Superman title.
He's been doing that with homage covers like for the last year.
And they've been
just
great.
With Spawn or the
just
other?
Spawn.
Yeah, I personally, I think it's a great tribute to other people's art. If you want to, if you like that iconic look and you're like, hey, I want to make it my own, but I'm giving a nod to you. So I think it's a nice way to honor other artists' work on that sense. So cool for him for doing that.
Well, yeah, definitely stop by your local shop and check it out.
Who did the cover art?
Todd McFarlane.
Oh.
Now, are we also encouraging them to pick up the comic itself? And maybe
we're judging a book by its cover. Yeah. these are books we haven't even opened.
Yeah. it's just, we like the pretty pictures.
When's the last time has anyone picked up and read some Spawn?
90-something?
It's been a while.
Right. Since I got the free comic book with the toy that they used to come out. Right.
Then I will make it my mission to pick up a new Spawn and review it on an upcoming podcast.
In the future.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, because it's been it's issue number 97, I think, was the last issue I ended up picking up.
Dude, do you remember when Spawn was actually worth something?
First
issues?
Absolutely.
Especially, issue 9, I think, was the first appearance of Angela. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was always like a...
Yeah, but number four, for whatever, it was the first appearance of Violator. That was always the one that was big bucks.
Yeah.
I used to like Spawn quite a bit. I just, at the time, I never bought comics, so I couldn't really figure out the storyline. I always wanted to figure out how he got past the whole, you're slowly dying and losing your power thing because Malbogia is going to steal all the Spawn power back or something. He used to have, that countdown clock.
Yeah, yeah.
And I never figured out how he got past that or if that's still going on, so.
I don't know.
So. All right.
A deal with the devil?
Kevin, you'll let us know when you pick up a new Spawn.
Yeah, I didn't even think about Spawn. when I'm looking at all these comic books to choose from, I always end up picking up something safe. Marvel, DC, Archie.
I almost picked up a My Little Pony, just to be ironic. But that would make me a hipster.
No, so
I
decided not to.
Make you a brony, man.
Yeah.
That'd be
Tony's the brony, so we'll let him do that. All right, what do we got next?
Some news and notes, maybe?
Yeah.
All right, we talked about this one last week. Peter Dinklage joining the cast of...
Dinklage.
Yeah, of X-Men First Class. And we were questioning, well, is he going to be Puck? Apparently not. According to, I think it was Variety Magazine, Bryan Singer said that he is going to be the primary villain in the movie, and they're hinting at Bolivar Trask.
Well, he's the one that designed all the Sentinels. If you're going to do Days of Future Past, you've got the Sentinels, so that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you want to throw a big curveball and introduce a new person, which is probably unlikely.
Yeah. I don't see them introducing a new person. And I think
Trask would be fine.
Trask is a good enough character. It's general enough.
Yeah.
He's
also human, so,
Well, yeah. Which
humans
is good,
could be anybody.
Because Peter Dinklage is human, too.
That's true.
That's a bonus. Yeah.
What I meant was that there isn't a specific, set of criteria. Colossus has to be giant Russian and metal.
Nightcrawler's got to
be blue. But
so he's not a human?
Dwarf, elf, human, aren't they all different races?
Wow.
Nice, I like that.
We just showed our nerd cards way too much.
Hey, you're the one that had D&D on the cover of your comic, so. What other news do we have?
Other movie news. I don't know if anybody cares about this or not, but there's not going to be a Lobo movie.
What?
Dude, you just told me. I just found out about this. Right here on this podcast.
Yeah.
How long have they been speculating this movie?
I don't know. The great thing is that I didn't know that they were talking about making one until Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, said, Yeah, I was originally talking to you about it, but it's not going to happen.
And I'm pretty sure all listeners at home are like, wait, they're talking about making a movie.
There was a couple directors that were approached, too, and pretty much everyone says, I was interested for a moment, but then it went away. That's how Hollywood works.
But then I decided I'd rather go do a Pillsbury Doughboy commercial.
There's the Gutters put out a really good comic this week that parodied The Rock's decision not to do a Lobo movie.
Okay.
And pretty much Lobo comes and kicks his ass and says, no person who played the Tooth Fairy is going to play me in a movie. So go to thegutters.com and check that one out. But
nice.
Yeah.
What else you got there, Tony? You got a couple things, don't you?
Yeah. One of them, which I don't know how to approach this, but there's another Marvel teaser out there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just of the dead.
Marvel of the Dead.
Well, no, Marvel's just there. The thing is of the dead. It's not Marvel of the Dead.
Well, how do you know it's not Marvel of the Dead?
It's because it's just of the dead.
Well, but you notice it doesn't say Marvel.
Fall 2013.
But you notice it doesn't say Marvel Now either.
That is true. Maybe they're going beyond now, to later.
That's then.
Yeah, not when they release it, then it'll be Marvel Now.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Marvel soon, if it's going to be the fall.
Still, it looks... honestly, with the blood splatter and everything, it looks... reminds me of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Like, flat out, that's what it... And so, I'm initially thinking zombies, but I don't see how Marvel is going to do a zombie book.
They've been doing zombie books for several years.
This one book called Marvel Zombies?
Yes, but if this is going to be set in the... But all those have been in alternate worlds, though.
Come over to the normal 616 universe, too.
And you think that property's still hot enough to where they need to have a teaser trailer for this?
Yeah.
You think they're going to...
You had Headpool for how long? He was a zombie.
Yeah, that was pretty badass, right. But...
I don't even want to know what you're talking about.
Headpool. It was Deadpool's zombie head.
They carried around with him as a sidekick.
Yeah.
It made for two Deadpools in a comic book, which was...
So that's really like
so you had four, six different voices.
Yeah,
talking.
I was thinking four, but yeah, yeah. I don't know. Doesn't list any writers. Doesn't list any artists. So
you know,
we'll see what happens.
They could be throwing you a curveball, and it could be someone like Morbius, who's a living vampire. But it's going to deal with like you know supernatural forces, right? You haven't had like
maybe it's Blade.
There you go. Blade's going to start killing some zombies instead of vampires. He's killed all them. He's the top predator in there.
Has Blade fought Morbius? I mean, it seems like he
had multiple times.
I've never really read either one of them, so. We talked about something last week with Orson Scott Card and DC catching some flack about, you know, a guy who is openly opposed to gay marriage. This week in Batwoman, spoiler alert, Batwoman 17, she proposed to her girlfriend.
Hmm.
So, you know, and I think it's funny because people are going, they're just doing this because they're catching all this shit, but, well, no. Like, do you know how long ago the story was scripted out and then it was drawn out?
Yeah.
Well,
and I know, too, that they made a big deal about her being the first openly lesbian character in comics. So, good for them.
Yeah.
If it's a compelling story, awesome. If you're just trying to do it to make sales, then shame on you. But
no, and I really don't think that they are in this case. And the artwork on that panel where she proposes is just gorgeous.
Yeah, that's very nice. This is actually my first time actually seeing Batwoman. I actually had not really until we started doing this podcast that I even know that there was a Batwoman.
Who is Batwoman?
Some lesbian.
Commissioner Gordon's daughter.
No, I thought Barbara Gordon was paralyzed.
Yeah, isn't that Batgirl?
But
that was the old 52. Yeah. This is the new 52.
Oh, she's no longer. Oh man, god damn you, new 52. All of my past knowledge is moot.
Yep.
All right. Why is she so pale?
Because she only comes out at night.
Does she pop out some makeup?
She's an albino. Well, she is a ginger.
Yeah.
You know, so.
All right.
Done.
Yeah. Problem solved.
Another little DC news. Saw a lot of excitement about this.
The new Vans wear available?
No, those are Marvels.
Oh. Yeah. No, Vans have already had a DC line.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now you can pick up kicks with Thor and...
And Iron Man.
Yeah.
And Petey.
Wow.
Peter Parker. Who's not a ghost.
Or a figment of his imagination.
Yeah. He's not a figment of imagination either.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right, so... Greg Pak is going to be writing Batman Superman series, and a lot of people are just thrilled with this. I never read any of the old Batman Superman, so this might be one I pick up. Give it a shot.
I just don't see how that works. Like, you have Batman who's badass, and you have Superman who can pretty much destroy anyone. You put those two together, who can stand in their way?
The Joker wielding kryptonite?
Okay.
with Lex Luthor on his back.
And so it's the same old story that they've done time in and time out.
Oh, have you ever read a comic before? Because it's always the same old fucking story. Every story is the same old story. We like them.
I'm not sure because I haven't picked up a Batman Superman, so I can't say. Although, I would go see that movie if they made it. And... I'd probably go see that movie before Justice League, and that movie probably has more chance of being made.
I was going to say, you might have a better chance of seeing that before Justice League.
But I agree with you. It's like you have the super brain with the super brawn. They're unstoppable.
One other fun little nugget of knowledge for Tony.
McKnowledge.
Yeah. A McKnowledge bite.
I can deal with that.
Is that... Just like a movie that lasts 93 minutes, that's as long as it took for tickets to sell out for San Diego Comic-Con this year.
Yeah, it's good for them for being able to sell out so quickly, but I heard there was a lot of people complaining because they were on the servers and they couldn't get on and they're crashing and lots of problems, so I don't know. They might have to go to like a lottery system or something, you know?
Well,
because there's so many people who want to go there, to me, it's not fair to just be like the best computer people are the ones that get to go there. The ones that are sitting there at the computer right at the time.
I'm surprised that they had computer problems because, I mean, the last I checked, this is not the first year that they had San Diego Comic-Con.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, this is like the third year, I think, for it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. You know, here's my thing, and maybe I'm being a dick, maybe whatever. Maybe it's...
I think you're going to be a snub. Whatever you're going to say.
It could be. And maybe this is nerd sacrilege. But I have no interest in going to San Diego because to me it's not about the comics.
I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. Actually, I don't want to stand in line.
It's about the culture that we have cultivated.
Which, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm about the comics. I can give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know?
So you don't support all of the industry, just the comics?
I support the whole thing, but I'm not going to put myself there.
Yeah.
I think given the chance, if you got tickets, you would... probably say yes, you're
going to go. If I got free tickets, they're going to pay for me to fly out there, pay for my whole... Like,
it's expensive,
You'd be ridiculous to say no. Yeah. In a scenario like that, but yeah, between all the expenses, I mean, yeah, you'll probably have fun doing things outside of the convention.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the big thing is that you get so many... You get really high-class celebrities, and you get a whole bunch of announcements for new things, right? It's the biggest platform for that. But you know what? If you're not... super geek to like meet a celebrity in person. Like I'm, you know, celebrities are cool, but whatever, they're people too.
Mm-hmm.
I can listen to the announcements online or on the TV.
Well,
so
you have people lining up for these panels the night before they happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
what? You're wasting your. You bought a ticket so you could go see a panel. Really,
one panel. Yeah, you're basically. It's like, yeah, I'm going to drop $100 or $200 or whatever the hell it costs.
Well, they'll probably. They said that they'll probably release more tickets about a week before the show or the convention, so people can still get some tickets.
Which should only benefit people who are within driving distance,
because
you ain't going to pick up an airline ticket with a week to go.
Well, if you're Tony Stark and you're a 1%er, you can't.
Well, yeah, but...
yeah.
So,
One last... I don't know if it's a rumor or not, but Bleeding Cool came out with... something saying that they heard that there's going to be Avengers Ultimates crossover sometime next year.
Yeah, I heard about that too, and they said it was going to be the end of the Ultimates universe in print form. They'll go to digital
only. That's one of the rumors, yeah.
I guess I'm not sure what... I mean, obviously, they've got ideas. They're the house of ideas. But what? How are you going to make those two fight each other? Or are they going to team up for some reason? Like, I guess...
I don't know.
I don't see where you're going to build the conflict in yet.
Yeah.
But if they've got some time, they can sow those seeds. And it sounds like just another crossover to try to sell more comics, you know. But
what?
What?
There's merchandising in comics?
I don't know. I've always been a fan. They did the crossover with Spider-Man and the Miles Morales Spider-Man. So they've already crossed over into that universe, but I don't know. I always felt that one of the nice things about the Ultimate Universe is that it was going to stay away from the normal mainstream 616. Yeah. And so now that they've already delved into it a couple different times, I'm kind of like, this is losing its edge. But I guess it's lost its edge a while ago after
Ultimate. I wonder maybe if they're trying to do that, though, too, because like there are these movies that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they can try and get people from the Ultimate Universe over into the main 616.
See, but I don't think anyone started with the Ultimate Universe. I don't think there's very many readers who started with the Ultimate Universe that hadn't originally grown up with the 616 universe.
Wasn't that the whole point of the Ultimate?
The point was to give people a starting on, a place where, you know, you don't have all the backstory. Instead of doing a new 52 and rebooting our whole normal line, Marvel said, let's build a different line. We can tell different stories. These characters are kind of fresh, new. Anyone can be killed because we're going to take it in a different direction. And I think they did really good with that all the way up through Ultimatum. And I kind of quit following after that because it kind of got a little... lost some of those iconic characters. But when they come in trade paperback, I hope I'm going to get them and keep up with it. But it quickly turned into, oh, it's just another series, another line, and I don't think many people were reading Ultimates that weren't also reading the main Avengers or something like that. So, yeah.
Hey, I got some news about the Taint movie that's coming out and how
Teenage Alien Invading Ninja Turtles?
Yep, yeah. And how Michael Bay's trying to fuck with it some more.
Oh, yeah, I heard. Did I send you this text?
Yes. So we have Megan Fox cast in the movie. They haven't announced
it. Is she Krang? She could be Krang the Conqueror. That'd be great.
Well, her thumbs could be.
No, and they haven't said who she's playing yet, but unless they introduce some other chick character in the universe, it's
April O'Neil.
She's going to be April O'Neil. And I just... What the fuck?
Damn it. I almost was going to give him credit, but now he's got Megan Fox in it, and I don't really care anymore.
I love seeing you get so worked up over
that. Can she be Baxter Stockman as a fly? Anything to just cover up her face.
Michael Bay is really trying to be the new Ooh Boyle of fucking movies. I mean, I don't understand his end game, but it's like, let's fuck with everyone's childhood here.
I read an article once that said that Michael Bay, as far as a director goes, kind of avant-garde with some of his cuts and his things. And if you're really into film, he would be someone to study for filmmaking. Like, the things that he does with the camera are pretty cool. But other than that, his movies are only...
So he can direct, but not write. Stop fucking writing movies.
Yeah, there you go.
Have someone else write a script that knows what the fuck they're doing.
And we'll keep them as mutants, not aliens. Yeah. Stupid.
I just happened to run across one other thing. There's not really a whole lot there, other than the fact that
another teaser.
Kind of. They're gonna reboot the Fantastic Four movie line.
Yeah, we knew that.
Yeah.
Sorry, we didn't know that, but we were pretty damn sure.
And that Matthew Vaughn is gonna be on hand to help out.
Okay.
I think he's gonna be producing. So. There's a little bit of little chunk of love for you, Tony.
I'll be excited about that one.
Yeah, that's pretty much everything I got on news this week. Unless you guys had anything else.
How many of us picked up all 53 issues of Justice League?
That's what I was
going to
talk about during the cover art. Like, Spawn beat out all those covers.
There was 52 variant covers. 53. Oh, that's right. Puerto Rico. No, yeah. They had the American flag. And then they had Puerto Rico.
And DC.
All right. Now here's my question. Here's my question, though, right? If you've been so big on the new 52, why would you put out 53 covers. The numbers don't work. The numerology doesn't work. You've just jinxed yourself.
Yeah, but there are 52 titles out anyway for the rate they keep canceling.
Yeah, sure.
But, no, now, my comic shop actually had a pretty good deal, and I don't know if this was, like, an all-around, but it came pre-wrapped all 53 covers together for $150, which is actually, like, it was about 30% off cover price.
Yeah.
But the greatest part about it was, is on the plastic that it's sealed in, it says printed in Canada. So, so you have the United States flag, you got Puerto Rico, D.C., and all 50 states of the United States, 50 state flags.
See, we didn't get an alternate cover that said, America Junior or something like that for Canada.
Enjoy your reading, eh?
Yeah. Hey, you want some Timbits? Oh, sorry. All right. Tony, you wanna drive down the Indy Turnpike this week for me?
Yes. I went out and, well, Derek picked it up for me, thank you, because I couldn't find it anywhere in any of the local comic book shops here, but it's Hellraiser, The Dark Watch, number one, by Clive Barker. Helping him out writing is Brandon Siffert, art by Tom Garcia. This book is something that I was actually kind of looked forward to because I love the Hellraiser franchise. I love the movies. I've talked about it before. This,
like, going, I can't wait.
And just the bad guys are so iconic, but they're not really even bad guys in the movies. They are just servants, the Cenobites. That's what they're called. And it's very gruesome.
The McBites?
Yes. And that's why I like them so much. So, but I went around to like four comic book shops around here, and none of them had this. I had to digitally download it, and then Derek picked up me up one, so I kind of bought it twice. But it's worth the buy if you know what's going on. I say that because you'd think this is a jumping on part, and having Clive Barker, who is the original writer, originally the Hellraiser movies are made off of his book, The Hellbound Heart. Are based off that. So having him come back to set the course of this new series is a huge deal. And while reading this book, it has a lot of the iconic visions. One of the key things is whenever the puzzle box is made, it enters the gateway to hell. Normally, that's when the Cenobites come out and pretty much welcome you to... You're going to start...
Eternal damnation.
Yeah. And this guy... had none of that, and he's like, what the hell's going on in hell? So he walks through the gate, and he's then introduced to one of them, and he kind of sees there's something amiss in hell. Something's going on, and it looks like there's an entire army gathering. For what? Who knows? You later find out that this guy is actually not really who he says he is. He is, I don't know, a... assassin of the damned would be the proper way to say it. He went down there to kill the head Cenobite and had a talisman to protect him from their chains and all their witchcraft, and eventually they kill him. And in the end, you see that there is a war that's going to be started. So it's almost kind of like looking back at the whole, going back to Spawn with Malebolgia and having the Spawn army to go on heaven. That's what this is looking like it's going to be, which will be a very interesting ride for a book. Mm-hmm. And just the way that the art is, the hedonistic like ways that these people pierce themselves, it's very interesting. But like I said, if you have no clue from the movies, they name drop a lot of people in here, which I recognize some of the names. And then others, I'm like, I don't know who that person is, but they keep mentioning his name, so maybe I should... find out what movie he was in or if it's from a previous comic book.
I think I've seen the original Hellraiser movie like once or twice. I don't, it was so long ago, like I don't even remember most of it.
I've seen like all of them except
Pin
for
face,
one.
Right?
Pinhead?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, Pinface. Yeah. I mean, that's about all I really remember was him being scary. Like, I don't remember anything much else past that.
Well, that's the thing. He was... You got Jason who will slowly stalk you and get you. You have Freddy's in your nightmares. Pinhead was just kind of always just there. You'd go around a corner and you'd just kind of be there. And he'd slowly walk. He's like, I know what I'm doing. And he'll send out the chains and spikes and fucking rip you to pieces and bring you down to hell. Like, he is an iconic bad guy, not just for his facial wear, but...
I loved in The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, which is an old cartoon if you guys, you know, haven't known I watch cartoons. Pinhead had a bunch of bowling pins on his head. It was hilarious.
So anyways, definitely a good pickup.
If you know Hellraiser at least a little bit.
Yes. If you want to get into it, I would say still...
Wikipedia, it's Hellraiser first. And then.
Yes, it's interesting, and it's a good read, but you're going to be lost if you have no clue the source material.
Cool. I'm glad you read it, because I was curious, but I don't know enough, and I was like, you know, but then when you told me you're having a hard time finding it, I was like, sweet, I can make you read this. And then tell me if I should read it. Cool. Well, got a little booze in a book for you guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. Are you familiar with booze in a book?
Do you have a booze
with you? Because I'm out of my really awful old beer.
I'm about to finish my last swallow here. This week I have Nomad Dry Hard Cider from North Peak Brewery out of Traverse City, Michigan. And this cider has a 6% alcohol by volume, which is a tad higher than a lot of the other ciders on the market. Not only that, this is the first true dry cider that I've found bottled. Because a lot of them say they are. They're dry cider, but no, they really aren't. They're way too sweet. I'm pairing this with Fanboys vs. Zombies, my other book that I like to drool over.
What?
Yeah. Number 11 from Boom Studios. Now, the reason I'm putting these two together is because they were two of, like, some of the best things that I got to experience this week. They're both crisp, they're both clean, and there's actually a hell of a lot more depth to both of them than what you would think unless you gave them a shot. So, what are you? Is your butt vibrating?
Is the best thing that happened to you this week?
Yes. They're both booze. Crisp and clean, so yeah. The other things that he's experienced for next week
were not so good.
No, it wasn't the best week all in all. I'll admit that. So, these were definitely highlights for me. But no, like, and I think Fanboys vs. Zombies, like, one of the reasons that I wanted to bring that up, though, is that I was ready to do full review on that until I read Daredevil, and I was like, and I sat there torn for the longest time trying to figure out which one, because they're both
maybe great. That's why you were crying at the end.
That could have been that, you know, it is my time of the month, you know. I'm manstraining.
All right, so you're gonna tell us that you're wetting the bed too?
Well, not my bed.
Moving along.
Yeah. All right, what do you guys got for last call? You guys got anything else you want to shout
yes,
out there?
Yes, yes. Would be Green Lantern 17.
Did you like that?
Green Lantern new Guardian 17, new or Green Lantern Corpse 17. It's the start of the
Wrath of the First Lantern.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know what? I was riding high from the Rise of the Third Army. Yeah. And now this is happening. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I'm not digging it. So I mean, if you got to pick up issue one, or else number two and three is gonna be like, whoa. Yeah. I'm saying you gotta pick them all up, or else I think you're gonna be a little bit out there.
I read part of Green Lantern number 17, and I put it down. Like, I'm going to try and go back to it, but it didn't.
Didn't
do it for me.
And actually, because of what I read, I even though I picked up Justice League America, I haven't read it, mainly because of these three that I read. But as a good palate cleanser, I did pick up Superman Family Adventures. It's canceled, so like there's only a few issues left, so I picked one up.
They're going to be collector's items.
Yeah.
I got a couple of last calls here. Avengers, go read it because it's good. Jonathan Hickman, Adam Kubert, Frank Martin. I also got Conan the Barbarian number 13, which is odd because it's number 13, yet it also says it's 100 issues at Dark Horse because they've been renumbering it as they do different things. But
Wait, comic book companies renumber?
For some reason, apparently, low numbers are better than high numbers.
When they start merchandising at Comic Con?
Anyways, number 13, The Woman on the Wall, Part 1. It's, a good starting on point for those of you who are Conan fans.
Indestructible Hulk was number 4, was pretty good. And then, as always, Superior Spider-Man, number 4.
Featuring Ghost
Spider-Man. Yeah, just amazing, especially the scene where he walks through the ghost apparatus there.
Yeah,
so,
and it's kind of wispy and ghost-like.
Yep.
So. Yeah, not a ghost. That's fine. We still got $20 on it. Anything but a ghost, I win. Judge Dredd, number 4, from IDW. Good read still. And Saga, number 10. Book is fucking fantastic. And there are no big giant balls in this one.
Good.
So.
That's an improvement.
Yeah. I think big thing if, listeners go check out our Twitter page, check out our Facebook page. If you're not already, go check us out at drunkoncomics.com. So I think that more or less covers us, although one last shout-out to one of our favorite sponsors, Intercomics, inter-comics.com. Please go check those guys out. They're an online retailer based out of the UK, but they do ship worldwide. Great prices, great info on their site, lots of stuff to waste your time while you're pretending to be at work doing something productive. So, you guys got anything else?
Nope.
Also, if you're listening to this and you didn't check it out, we posted a really cool beer conversation between Matt and Tony and Nick, kind of talking home brewing and beer in general and some beer news. And there's a little nerdy stuff thrown in there, but I found it very educational. Edumacational.
We be smart.
Yeah.
SMRT.
When we not be smart, we might later throw on a little couple minute long rambling of Kevin, Tony, and myself.
Being shit-faced.
Yeah, with extreme drunkenness. So
remember to hit us up on our Pitter Twitch.
Pinterest page?
Yeah, our Twitter page or Facebook. Let us know what your thoughts are for our new comic book cover art segment.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, there might be a prize involved.
Yeah, maybe.
There...
Derek's offering a prize, so Derek will pay you a prize.
A free car!
Actually, there is a local artist that was talking that he might want to do a little contest. A guy by the name of Jay Shimko. We'll do a custom cover for you, I believe for free.
And there we go. We have some kind of prize, whether it's that or a t-shirt or a mailing of pictures of us.
Or we'll talk about you someplace. Yeah. But yeah, so there might be a prize. I got to confirm it with him that he's still on board, but he did want to do some kind of contest. So there you go.
All right. Well, then get at us. Let us know what you think, and we will see you guys next week.
Get at us? What do you mean get at us?